Good evening and welcome to the Wednesday night class. Again, this is Michael Whittington's class and I am his understudy, Chuck Chisholm. Just trying to fill in for him. Those are big shoes to fill, so I don't know that I do so good with that because he is a great teacher. We're going to continue talking about what we talked about last week, so we'll kind of continue with that same thought. If you remember last week, kind of the two main things, we told the kids' story about the purple blob, which I think was actually a fairly good description of what happens when anger begins to spread through a group of people. And then we talked about mirroring, how we have a tendency to mirror what happens to us. If somebody's mad at us, we get mad back. If they gossip to us, we want to gossip back. So we tend to copy what's around us. And we talked about how we don't want to do that. We need to resist that mirroring and fight against that. Today, as we move through, I want to kind of replace that with some things and talk about what we can do to assure that the mirroring of bad things doesn't happen in our life. As we ended last week, one of the things that I invited you to do was share any stories that you had. You remember I said that I thought that probably we talked about this because some people would be facing that this week and there would be opportunities to get mad or not get mad. And so I have a couple stories to share of things that have happened to people. So let me share a few of these with you here. This one said, after last week's lesson, I had a sheriff show up at my door with a warrant. It was a warrant for a downed tree on a rental property that I had. It had a court date and a large fine that was associated with it. I immediately got mad and my complaint was that, why did you just issue a warrant? Why didn't you tell me anything about it first? And so I called because I was mad about that. And I'm actually going to name who this happened to. The person that this happened to was me. Yeah, after me telling you, be careful because you may face something, that happened to me. It's a real house. And I knew the tree was down. It was up in a corner and it wasn't anybody's way, but the codes guys got me. And I actually had sent two letters to the house that I never got. And so when I called the codes inspector, I remained very calm and talked nicely. And at one point he said, well, I can tell that you're not trying to get away with anything. You're trying to take care of this. So it actually benefited me to be very calm and to respond in a good way. So I worked hard to get all that taken care of. Let me tell you another one. Here's a story. This email said, my children had bought some paint to use in a bathroom. While my daughter was showing her brother the paint color, the top of the paint can popped off and about half a gallon of paint poured down the arm of our couch. Some of the paint ran into the cushions and some of it poured all over the floor. There were four of us who spent an hour scooping, scraping, scrubbing, and carpet cleaning. We had plenty of opportunity to get mad, but after the initial shock, everyone maintained their cool, and we were able to almost get it looking normal. And the person that happened to was, yeah, it was me. Yeah, it poured all over. It was a cloth couch, soaked into the arm of the couch, soaked into the cushions. Literally spent an hour wrestling with that thing, trying to get paint out. We got most of it out. If you come over to my house and look real closely, you can see, I think I see a little bit of paint there. But if you just glance at it, you won't know it. We did remain very calm, and we were able to handle that situation without getting mad. It wasn't anybody's fault. So we did get through that. One other event, and by now you know it'll be me that I'm talking about. Debbie and I went to Walmart to buy hand sanitizer for camp. We bought the little pumps for each cabin. I think we bought about 28 or 29 of them, and I had them all piled up in the cart. And the thought crossed my mind, somebody's going to want to get mad at me for buying so much hand sanitizer. And we had put the last one in, and a lady walked around the edge of the aisle, and she looked at our cart, and she said, so you're the reason nobody can find any hand sanitizer. And I started, and at first I said, no, we're not. And then I was able to calm down, and I said, we actually asked the lady. She said, they have boxes and boxes back in the back. We're not the ones keeping you from buying it. All you got to do is ask them and they'll bring out tons more. And then I said, we're actually buying it for church camp and we need one for every cabin. We want to keep the kids healthy. And she ended up saying, well, church camp is really good. I'm glad you're doing that. So I had the opportunity to get mad, and I approached the edge of it there, but I was able to pull back and everything was good. If you remember last week, I said that I thought some people were going to face this, and maybe that's why I was talking about it. I think, as with most of my lessons, they usually apply to me more than anybody else. And I think, and I say this isn't a selfish or a self-glorifying statement, but I think I learn more from my lessons than anybody else. Often when I'm done, I go back and listen to them, and I think, oh, wow, yeah, I need to remember that, because I don't know, sometimes God uses these to teach me. So this last week, the lesson was for me. I had at least three good opportunities to use it this week. I hope it benefited some of you all too, and hopefully it was good for you all as you went through your week. If it didn't get you last week, I'm going to say again, be careful. You might be the one this week. I'm hoping it's not me. I hope I'm done with that for this week, but you might be the one that needs to know this. So we'll let that go to you this time, and hopefully it will help you. I do have another video that I made for our elementary kids. I don't like this story as much as what I like the purple blob, but I do want to share a story that happened to me when I used to paint. So at this time, we'll play about a 10-minute video about two people that I used to work with. So sit back and enjoy this. Oh, hey guys, how are you? Hey, I'm just getting ready to paint on this house here. I've got some things to touch up here. But you know, it's nice to see you all, and this paint here kind of reminds me of a story. Can I tell you a story? This story is actually a true story. This happened to me years ago when I was working as a painter when I was going to school, and it happened to some friends of mine. So let me share this little story with you. So I worked for this guy. His name was Jim. Jim was a painting contractor, and he would get jobs, and he would hire us to come paint for him. There was another guy that worked there. His name was Johnny. And Johnny and I would work together, and Johnny was a friend of mine. Well, there was this interesting thing about Jim and Johnny. Johnny would come in every day to work and would never bring a lunch. You see, at one point, Jim would say, all right, guys, it's time to eat. Get your lunches. And we would all go get our lunches and get ready to eat. And Johnny would say, oh, I didn't bring a lunch today. And he would say, I've got to go buy a lunch. So he would go to Burger King or McDonald's, and he would go buy a lunch, and then he would bring it back. By the time he got back, we were usually finished eating, and we would start back to work. So he would have to finish eating, which was taking time out of his time for the day when he would get paid for. So he would have to finish eating, and then every day at the end of the day, he would go to the boss, Jim, and he would say, hey, Mr. Boss Man, can I borrow some money for gas to get home because I'm low on gas? It would happen really often like that. And Jim, the boss, would say, "What? You're borrowing money. You went and spent extra money trying to buy food today. You should have brought your lunch, and then you wouldn't have to have spent money on food." And Johnny would say, I know. I ought to make my lunch and bring it. I just run out of time in the mornings." And so the boss would loan him money, and then the next day, the same thing would happen. Hey guys, time to eat lunch. All right, get your lunch. Oh, boss man, I didn't bring my lunch today. I need to run get it. He would go get it. He would come back. He would be late getting back to work. End of the day, can I borrow just a couple dollars for gas to get home? And this would go on day after day. I think for over a year's time, on and off, this would just happen over and over. And Jim, the boss, would just yell and fuss. And he would say, Johnny, be responsible. Get up and make your lunch. Bring your lunch in every morning. Don't go waste money buying food out. It's cheaper if you made your own lunch. And then you're always asking me to borrow money so that you can buy gas. If you didn't go buy your lunch, you would have money to buy the gas. And this would go on day after day for almost a year's time. Well, one day I'm at home and I'm getting my lunch. I get a piece of bread out. I'm going to put my peanut butter on it, making my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I thought, maybe I'll make one for Johnny. So I made mine and put it in the baggie, and then I made one for Johnny and put it in the baggie. And then I was getting potato chips in the bag. I said, well, I'll just fix potato chips for me and I'll fix some for him. And then I got a drink out for me and I got a drink out for him. And then got a snack cake out for me and got a snack for him. And I packed two lunches. And so that day we went to work, and sure enough, it's coming that part of the day. Jim says, all right, guys, time for lunch. And Johnny starts to say, oh, I've got to run by my lunch. I forgot to bring a lunch today. And I said, hey, I'll share my food with you. I've got plenty of food. And he was like, no, I can't eat your food. Let me just go buy some. I was like, no, really, Johnny, I packed two lunches today. I packed one for me and I packed one for you. Here is a lunch for you to eat today. And he said, well, thanks. I appreciate that. And so we sat there and we ate a lunch. He didn't have to go spend money, extra money on takeout food. And at the end of the day, he didn't have to borrow money for gas. And it was just nice for all of us. Well, the next morning I got up and I did the same thing. I said, well, I'm fixing my sandwich. I'll just go ahead and fix Johnny a sandwich. And I fixed him a sandwich. So I had two lunches. I had one lunch for me and one lunch for Johnny. And when we got there that day, Jim said, all right, guys, lunchtime. And Johnny started to say, well, I said, don't worry, Johnny, I got your lunch. I gave him a lunch, I had my lunch, it was nice. He didn't go out, he had money to buy gas at the end of the day, everything was good. Day three, I was like, you know, it doesn't cost me much to make these lunches, I'll just do this for him. If I do this every day for a long time, that's okay, it helps him a lot. So I will just do this just to serve him. So I fixed my lunch and I fixed his lunch. We got there, I had the two lunches. All right, guys, time to eat. And I was waiting for Johnny to say, well, I don't have my lunch. And he said, okay. And I said, what? He said, okay, I'm ready to eat. And I said, well, what about your food? He said, oh, I brought food today. I said, you did what? He said, I brought food today. You brought food? And then Jim came in and said, all right, Johnny, run get your lunch. And he said, I've got it. And Jim said, what? You've got your lunch? He said, oh yeah, I made my lunch today. I'm ready to eat. And we sat down and ate, and I had a whole extra lunch there. And I asked him, I said, Johnny, what, for a year, Jim has been trying to get you to bring a lunch. Why did you finally do that? He said, I don't know. I just decided I would bring one. You've been making mine every day. I just got up and made it. And I said, well, great. Now, you know, guys, here's the thing about that. For almost a year, my boss, Jim, had been yelling and yelling about Johnny bringing a lunch. And it never worked. It never made him bring a lunch. It didn't inspire him or encourage him. He just kept on doing the same thing. But for 2 days, I served him by doing something kind for him to help him out. And after 2 days, it changed his behavior. A whole year of fussing didn't work. 2 days of serving did work. So here's my message for you. It doesn't always work that perfectly, but understand, you can fuss and fuss, but fussing doesn't really work. What works is when you are serving other people. Now, I know you're thinking, well, when my mom fusses at me, I have to do it. Well, it's not because they fuss, it's because they can back it up with consequences. And adults who are watching this, if you're saying, well, my boss can fuss at me and I do it, well, it's not because of the fussing, it's because they can back it up with consequences. But a lot of people around us, we can't back up with consequences what we say. The fussing doesn't work. What works is when we serve other people, when we become servants who do good things for other people. That's the way we change hearts. That's the way we change attitudes, is by the way we serve. So when we're out there in the world and we want somebody to act a different way, we don't yell and fuss and argue with them. We serve them. We find something good to do for them. You know, who taught us about this was God and Jesus. You know, there was a time when we were bad people. We didn't do what was right. We sinned, and God looked down, and God could have said, I can't stand this. I've got to punish you. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to do bad things to you to make you shape up. But he didn't do that. God looked at us and said, I have to serve them. And what he did was he sacrificed his son. Jesus Christ came and died for us. He didn't yell at us. He came and he died in place of us. He served us so that we would learn to love him, so that our attitudes would be to love God. That's the way he made a difference. You see, God and Jesus are the ones who taught us about service. They're the ones who taught us about how we reach out to people and how we make a difference in the people around us. So this week, look for opportunities to serve people. Don't yell and fuss and argue, but go out and look for good things you can do. In the long run, that's the real way that you change a heart and you change a mind. Well, hey, I've got some painting I got to do. Thanks for listening to my story again. I'm going to run do this painting, and we'll see you guys later. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that video. Again, it kind of goes along with what we've been talking about here, about how we treat people, the way we respond to people. The things that we do to people, those things do have an impact on those around us. So we need to be very thoughtful about how we do that. I'd like to begin this part of the class by reading a scripture. I'm going to be reading from Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Again, that's Romans 12, 17 through 21. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, then feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think that's what we're called to do, is to overcome evil with good. That's what we've been talking about so much here. When we think about that, though, you know, it's difficult. It's just not our nature. Our nature, like we said last week, it's to mirror. It's to copy what goes on around us. If somebody's mean to us, something in us wants us to be mean back to them. So it's not natural for us to overcome evil with good. And yet that's what God calls us to do. That's what we long to do. So what I want to do is take a few minutes here and talk about some things that can help us to overcome evil with good. Things that help to touch our heart and the way we think, which would help it to become more natural for us to do what's right for people around us. The first thing on this, I think, is that we need to see with the eyes of Jesus. We need to see things the way Jesus saw them. With the teenagers, I tell them often, when you walk into a room, you need to practice the Zacchaeus principle. When Jesus was in the crowd, there were people gathered around. I mean, they were probably right in his face, definitely not observing social distancing. They were all wanting to talk to him, and they were like, come to my house, talk to me. But somehow, in the middle of all that commotion, Jesus scanned the crowd. He looked and he saw everything that was there, and he noticed Zacchaeus off up in a tree somewhere. Obviously not real noticeable, but somehow through the eyes of Jesus, Jesus said, that's who I need to go to. And see, I tell the teenagers, when you walk into the room, you don't immediately run to your friends and gather around and, you know, start your huddle and start talking about what's going on. When you walk into a room, you look, you scan the room, and you say, who is in this room that maybe I need to talk to? And that's the person you go to first. See, you look through the eyes of Jesus to see who is there that might be hurting, that might need help, that might need a friend, and that's where you go. That's what it means to begin to look at things the way Jesus looked at things. So if we're gonna develop the ability to have the proper response to people, we need to begin to see things the way that Jesus saw them. See, I think that Jesus, when he looked at people, what he saw was their soul. He saw souls out here. and he saw eternity. So it didn't matter a whole lot what they were doing. What mattered is the fact that they had an eternal part of their life that was going to go on forever. They were going to spend somewhere for an eternity. They were going to be there, either in heaven or in hell for an eternity. So Jesus wasn't concerned as much about the moment as much as he was what he could do to change their life and change their soul for an eternity. We see that when he was being crucified. They had him and they were driving nails into his wrist and his feet. And while they were doing that, Jesus was saying, God, you've got to forgive these people. They just don't understand what's going on. They don't even know what they're doing. You see, he was able to see the soul, not the fact that they were trying to kill him. We naturally would try to defend ourselves. We fight that. That is definitely within us. But Jesus was able to see past that, to see the soul of the person. So when you are dealing with people that are not being good to you, or they're treating you in a bad way, your response needs to be to not look at what they're doing, but to look at the fact that they have a soul and that they will be somewhere for an eternity. In Luke 6, I'm going to read Luke 6, starting in verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, well, what credit is that to you? Even sinners will do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But you love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back, then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Listen to that. Listen to that again. God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You see, God had mercy on us when we were wicked, when we were those sinners who didn't want to try to do what was right. God had mercy on us. He saw that there was something more there than just the fact that we were doing something bad. And He was merciful. He cared. And that's what we've got to learn to do, is look at people, see their soul, see an eternity, be merciful to those who are not treating us right. If we can begin to see through the eyes of Jesus, then it does become much easier for us to deal with the people in this world that are not being kind to us. And then here's the second thing. We talked about mirroring last week, about how we naturally mirror. When people are angry, we tend to become angry. When they're negative, we tend to become negative. And we talked about fighting against that, trying not to let that affect the way we act. We can even do more than just fighting against it. We can replace those bad things with something good. And what I think we need to replace it with is the cross. So when somebody treats us bad, we don't even have to worry about whether we're going to be bad back to them, because what we're mirroring is the cross. Let me read from Romans 5, 6 through 8. Again, that's Romans 5, 6 through 8, starting in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man somebody might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when somebody's treating us the wrong way, we need to respond with the cross, because it was at the cross where we were treating God the wrong way. And God's response was to sacrifice His Son. Jesus climbed up on that cross in order to save us from those wicked ways that we were in. So we need to mirror that to the people around us. when people are treating us the wrong way, we can't care about what they're doing. We care about the fact that Jesus died on the cross when I was treating him the wrong way. And see, if we can begin to understand that in our hearts and minds, then we can begin to mirror that to people in the world. We can begin to show them what is important to us, which is the cross. You know, Jesus died while everybody hated him. That's when he died. He climbed up on that cross when we were not wanting to follow him. And people or God will call us to serve people while they hate us. You see how it's the same? We're just mirroring what Jesus did. We treated Jesus the wrong way, and he died for us. So when people treat us the wrong way, then we become living sacrifices for them. Matthew 18 is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Let me read this to you. Think about this. Again, this is Matthew 18, starting in verse 23 through verse 34. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. You know, that's us. We came to God. We had sin on our life. The debt for sin is to be lost eternally. We begged for forgiveness, and God said, "We wipe it away. We forgive you for everything that you've done." The parable goes on. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, so much less than what he owed. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Please be patient with me. I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just like I had on you?" What God is saying is he forgave us of so much. He forgave the sins that we had. He forgave the way that we treated him. And then we turn around and we can't forgive somebody who does something small to us. Jesus is saying it should not be that way. When somebody treats us the wrong way, we mirror to them the cross. We forgive them just like we were forgiven at the cross. We offer the sacrifice to those that treat us bad, just like Jesus offered the sacrifice to us when we were treating him bad. You see how that begins to work in your mind, where you begin to say, I should be able to, and I am able to, respond in love when there are those who are responding to me with evil. You see, we don't respond to anger. We respond to the cross. We don't dwell on the mistreatment that people give to us. We dwell on the forgiveness God gave to us at the cross. We don't focus on personal attacks that people have on us. We focus on the forgiveness that God gave us at the cross. We don't try to get revenge. We think about what God gave us in getting rid of our sin. We don't worry about what somebody might do to us. We dwell on what Jesus did for us. We don't fear the attack of people around us, but we draw peace from the cross. We don't repeat in our minds the bad things that people say to us. We repeat in our minds the fact that Jesus said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing." We don't say, "He offended me today." We say, "Jesus died for me." We don't look at the faces of our enemies with disgust. We look at the face of Jesus that was full of love. You see, we don't deal with those things that happened to us. We deal with what happened to us at the cross. And that changes the way that we can respond to people around us. I'm going to close with something that was on Facebook. You may have read this on there. I thought it was really good. So just kind of listen to this little story. I was at Walmart last night and heard a loud crash and something shattering. Being nosy like I am, I walked towards the sound and I saw some people whispering and looking back to the end of the next aisle. When I walked down that aisle, I saw that an older lady had hit a shelf and that a lot of things had fallen to the ground and broken. She was kneeling on the floor embarrassed, frantically trying to clean up. I felt so bad for her. Everyone was just standing there staring at her. So I went and I knelt down beside her and I told her not to worry and I started helping her to pick up the broken pieces. After about a minute, the store manager came and knelt beside us and said, "Leave this alone. We're going to clean it up." The lady was totally embarrassed. I need to pay you for this," she said. The manager smiled, helped her to her feet, and he said, "No, ma'am, we have insurance for this. You don't have to pay anything." Now, take a moment and imagine. God is doing the same thing for you. Imagine the broken pieces of your mistakes or the pieces of your broken heart from all the blows life has thrown at you just all over the floor. And you're there trying to collect all those pieces and fix them and put them together. Now imagine that God comes and kneels right down beside you and he smiles and he says to you, "Leave it all there. I'm going to pick this up." He loves you that much and he wants to put all those pieces back together if you will let him. With him, we have this insurance and it's called grace. And it's amazing and it's free. He is and always has been there for us. He simply asks that we help spread that grace to those around us. When you walk through your daily life, look for chances where you can live out for others the same amazing grace that Jesus lived out for you.